So today, I'm probably giving a talk I should have given last week because it's about getting enough sleep. And probably all of you crammed before your tests and you're just going to have guilt now and it'll wreck your break. But I thought I would call up my brother-in-law, Dr. Sabangan, and I'm going to ask him a couple of questions. He's actually a board-certified internal medicine specialist and a pulmonologist, a sleep specialist as well. So every waking hour, he's thinking about sleep. So I'm going to ask him. Oh, yeah, you can have this. You can have this one because I have a microphone on. So I just want to ask him a couple of questions. And we're going to talk about spiritual insomnia today. But I want to talk about physical, well, you know, mental insomnia. And is this a big problem in America?
It's tremendous. It's huge. 70 million Americans suffer from some sort of sleep disorder. And 33 to 50% of Americans suffer from insomnia at any given time.
And what about people in college age? Do they have any problems with insomnia?
Huge. And, you know, kids that don't get enough sleep, they become dysfunctional. They can't study. They can't retain information that they're trying to learn. So it's a huge problem, not just in college age kids, but high school kids and elementary kids.
So it affects memory?
It affects memory, cognition, retention, clarity of mind, concentration. It's just a horrible, dysfunctional problem to have. So you need your sleep.
So too bad that we didn't tell them this last week, right?
You know, 30% will suffer short-term insomnia, but 10% will suffer long-term insomnia. About 40% will have an accidental falling asleep during the day, and 5% of drivers will fall asleep while they're driving. Mm. And that's a very bad problem.
What about the statistics on falling asleep during a sermon?
I don't think I want to go there.
It's one of the reasons I stay up here preaching, so I don't fall asleep. What are some things we can do, actually, to reverse insomnia if we're struggling with it?
Well, you got to look at the main problem. You know, obviously, in this environment, we don't have to worry about alcohol or tobacco or caffeine.
Do we?
You know, caffeine, if you drink one cup of coffee in the morning, at 8 o'clock in the morning, it has a 16-hour effect. So it'll last till 12 midnight. You know, a lot of people say, I stopped drinking caffeine at 6 o'clock in the evening. They don't realize that it has a 16-hour effect. Mm. Alcohol, you know, they think that, you know, getting having a nightcap at 6 o'clock will put them right to bed. Well, that's true. You know, it's called a nightcap. It's not called a nightcap for nothing, but alcohol is metabolized via the zero kinetic disorder, order. And so alcohol will help you fall asleep. But 3 to 4 hours later, the metabolites of alcohol will fragment your sleep. So the major sleep period is then shortened. So it's not good for you.
Okay, so no alcohol. What about sleep hygiene, sleeping in the same place at the same time? And what about that?
It's so important to practice good sleep hygiene. Bedtimes and rise time should be regular. You know, as we all know, Ellen White talks about going to bed way before midnight, approximately 2 hours before midnight, because that's when your delta wave sleep is most robust. And so you need to go to sleep about 2 hours. The ideal time is about 2 hours before midnight. And so sleep hygiene is very, very important. Again, no alcohol, tobacco, or nicotine, regular bedtime and rise times. Especially today, we deal with a lot of electronics, digital computers, smartphones. So we need to curtail our electronic use about 30 to 60 minutes before going to bed.
So no TV in your room?
No TV in your
room.
No
smartphone?
No smartphones.
No computer?
No clocks right in front of you, because the more you try to fall asleep, the more you're not going to be able to fall asleep. Mm. So sleep, your bed should be just for sleeping and resting. Obviously, you want to make your bed comfortable, your room nice and cool, fresh air coming in. And so these are all conducive for a good night's rest. And you want to have exercise. You know, the Bible says the sleep of a laboring man is what?
Sweet.
Sweet. So exercise, physical activity will help us. But you don't want to do it within 2 to 3 hours before bedtime. I always tell patients to exercise early in the morning. That's really the best time to exercise. And because you feel tired, you know, you feel fatigued. You know, insomniacs are hyper aroused. They're not sleepy. They're tired, but they're not sleepy. So they're hyper aroused. SPECT images of insomniacs show that their brain is hot. And so, you know, you have to cool your brains down.
Hold it like this.
Is this better? Like this?
You'll get feedback.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right.
Okay, good. So what time should you go to bed? It says here, I'm reading something from Sora White, from Mrs. White, not to sit up after 9 o'clock. Every light should be extinguished. Is that a good counsel, or is she just an old lady you shouldn't listen to?
Like I said, if you go to bed within a reasonable time period, preferably about 2 hours before bedtime, it's amazing. When they put electrodes on your brain, you go through different stages of sleep, stage 1, 2, and 3, and then REM sleep, and it cycles through. Delta wave sleep, which is stage 3, where you see these high amplitude, low voltage type of waves, and they are really what you need to give you that deep, restorative sleep. And if you don't go through that, it's going to be hard for you to feel rested in the morning. REM, on the other hand, is most preponderant after midnight. And that's where we dream. And so the best time to go to bed is way before midnight.
Amen. No napping during the sermon? That would really mess you up, right?
Well, you know,
Naps.
Naps are good if it restores you, if it re-energizes you. But if it affects your major sleep period during the night, then you shouldn't go to sleep during the day. But if it re-energizes you, if it gives you more energy to perform your duties during the day, then I would advise it.
Okay. So, like, yeah, there are some places that have siestas and different things.
Yes. And studies have shown that if you take a siesta, 30 to 60-minute naps, your blood pressure goes down, you feel better, you have more clearer mind to do your work during the day.
Abraham took naps, so did David, and so did Seth, I guess, as well.
I'm a napper. I love to take naps.
Okay.
I mean, you can...
Not right now, though, right?
No, not right now.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Sabangan. And how many are thankful that we have this expert here today and that he has shared practical tips for sleep. Now, I got to just admit that part of the reason I wanted to talk about sleep was because he was here so I could take advantage of his expertise. And I want to talk now based on what he said on dealing with spiritual insomnia. It should come up there on the screen in a minute, if it's working, I hope. Of course, at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 14, it talks about them having no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image. And then you have, on the other side, you have God's people who are experiencing salvation rest and Sabbath rest and purposeful fulfillment in life. And they are living a rest-filled life. So let's pray together, and then we'll look at some of the spiritual issues with insomnia. Father in heaven, bless us today as we talk briefly about this important subject. And we thank you. We come in Christ's name. Amen. So, you know, chronobiologists look at the chronology of our life and the body, and they tell us when our best coordination, fastest reaction time, etc. is. This is all, driven by having proper circadian rhythms in our life and going to bed when we really should, and getting up when we should. By the way, I found it interesting that Ellen White, speaking of her, she says to get up around 6 o'clock. She says, make yourself get up. I suppose that means you've got enough sleep before that because you go to bed at 9. So that would be, you know, quite a bit of sleep that you would be able to get in. And then, of course, there's circus septum rhythms as well that are looking at the not just the daily cycle but the weekly cycle. And we know that both of these impact immunity, and circus septum rhythms are directly related to T cell immunity, which I won't go into right now. But sleep, then, is, spiritually speaking, a gift from God. In our scripture reading today, it is vain for you to rise up early, in other words, get your sleep, to sit up late, in other words, get your sleep, to eat the bread of sorrows, in other words, don't let bitterness, anger, or grief overwhelm you in your sleep, if possible, for he giveth his beloved sleep. Now, sleep can also be a time of vulnerability. Delilah cut Samson's hair while he slept, thus destroying his strength. And my wife recently cut my hair, and I didn't feel any weaker, but he was a Nazirite, and you know the story. So there is times of vulnerability, but sometimes people have a hard time going to sleep if they have post-traumatic stress and different things that are underlying issues with sleep. If I would have been married to Delilah, I would have some serious post-traumatic stress, right? I mean, she tried to kill him like several times. And I'd be like, you know, I don't think I'm going to sleep tonight. I think I'm going to stay up. David also had an opportunity to kill Saul while he was sleeping, but did not. Because God sent a sleep to those soldiers, but we'll come back to that. Job says, night drags on and I'm tossing till morning light. My bones feel gnawed. My sinews never rest. The other translation I thought was interesting. My arteries pulsate so strong that I cannot sleep. Maybe some cardiovascular issues there. I'm not sure. But people are just, in biblical times, they're saying, look, I can't sleep. I can actually feel my heart beating. I have aches and pains and maybe neuropathies. I'm not sure. So back during that time, you know, they had various prayers they would say. This is from the Siddur, which is, you know, like a Talmud type prayer book of the Jews. Grant that we lie down in peace, secure in thy protecting love, and shelter us beneath thy wings to keep us safe throughout the night. On the morrow, raise us up upon perfect peace to life, O God. So praying for sleep might be a strategy, and claiming God's promises. Morning prayers, blessed art thou God, Lord our God, King of the universe, who removes sleep from our eyes and slumber from our eyelids. So not only helping us go to sleep, but also helping us wake up. Prayers both in the evening and the morning. And then each prayer service ended in this particular prayer book by saying, to him I entrust my spirit when I sleep and when I wake. So sleep is big in the Bible and big in the history of Scripture. And sometimes sleep was used for a very important purpose. Adam went to sleep for the creation of Eve. How many of you are thankful that Adam got his sleep? Yes, I'm very thankful for that. And then, of course, sleep was sent by God to King Saul's men, as we said, so David could get away, could escape. So it appears that God can actually intervene when it comes to sleep, and we need to remember that. Now, often he doesn't intervene. He leaves it up to us to do the things that the doctor ordered this morning, sleep hygiene and all these other various things. But he can intervene. Now, interestingly, the doctor mentioned several stages of sleep today, and he can read these EEGs for us probably after the service if you're interested. These were not EEGs taken of someone asleep during a sermon, thankfully. But it's interesting that in the scriptures themselves, there's actually Hebrew words that go with different stages of sleep. Tanuma, drowsiness, is one stage of sleep. Yashin and Shana is conscious thought. So you're actually thinking at that stage of sleep in the scriptures, Hebrew scriptures. And then there was a radum, heavy or deep sleep stage. Jonah's sleep, it was so deep that there was a huge storm and the captain had to wake him up. And it uses that for a very, very deep sleep. Then, of course, there was another, Tardema, the last stage of sleep, where the flow of thoughts continue in dreams or in revelations. This is a description of REM sleep. And REM sleep is the reason there's an Adventist church, because it's based on dreams and visions, right? So the book of Daniel would never have occurred without that. How many of you are thankful that Daniel got his sleep? And also Ellen White, how many thankful she got her sleep? So stages of sleep actually are directly related to one of the major differences in the Bible from other holy books is prophecy, which is based on these dreams. So it just goes to show you that God used people who actually had good sleep cycles, and he revealed the very things that give us confidence and hope during those times. Now, normal sleep patterns in the Bible are talked about in Psalm 104 and also Psalm 59:9 and 108:3, which talks about when to go to sleep and when to wake up. Very interesting. Now, I don't know if I can pronounce this guy's name. Maimonides was a Jewish philosopher and physician in the Middle Ages. Maimonides, I think he lived in
Cordoba.
What?
Cordoba in Spain.
He lived in Spain?
Yep.
Oh. Wow. We have a Spanish speaker who's reminding me of where he lives. Even though our friend is from Mexico, he's telling us about folks in Spain. Thank you very much, Fito. Fito is like our resident Jewish philosopher, even though he's Spanish. And he teaches sociology here, and I wish I could sit in that class, but I hear from my daughter all about it. She lost a little sleep because of your class. You messed up her hygiene, her sleep hygiene. Would you come forward? We need to rebuke you. No, we won't do that. Okay, so he was a Jewish philosopher and in the Middle Ages. He said, a day and night are 24 hours. It is sufficient for you if you sleep one-third of that 8 hours. You should not sleep face down or face up, only on your side, because he knows something about snoring. First part of the night, you should lie on your left side, and the latter part of the night on your right side. Don't sleep immediately after eating. Wait about 3 or 4 hours before going to sleep, and don't sleep in the daytime. What would you say, Dr. Sabang? Is this pretty good? What about the shifting on right or left side? Do you sleep on the left side on one side and then on the other side? I guess I should be asking Graziella that. But normal sleep patterns.
He was a doctor.
Yeah, he was a doctor right there, yeah, and a philosopher. Now, sleep disruption, this is a good one. Maybe you should read this to your roommate. Don't greet one another loudly in the morning. My wife pretty much lives by this. And, you know, if you do greet her or other people in the family loudly in the morning, you could be in risk of never getting any sleep again, if you know what I mean. It could be death. I lie awake like a lonely bird upon a roof. So the Bible talks about how some people are having problems going to sleep, and it's interesting that in a like worded passage, when one rises at the voice of the bird, that kind of sleep, the word for sleep in that particular text and context is yishan, which is one of the words of the stages of sleep. And this means also old. So if someone's called old, they also use this word for sleep. That means they wake up and they have a hard time going to sleep if they get older. And so sometimes when we get older, even today, we know that they struggle with sleep. And this is true also in the Bible. How many think the Bible is actually a pretty interesting book when it comes to sleep? Guilty consciences will keep you awake. Ahasuerus, you know, he was approached by a person from the HR department who said, you have not awarded Mordecai a award for saving your life. And he thought something was wrong, and he woke up, and then he took care of it with Mordecai. Darius, if you're high dairy, Darius also had a hard time sleeping. Why? He threw someone in the lion's den. Now, if you threw someone in the lion's den, you probably shouldn't sleep well, right? And so he couldn't sleep well. He had a guilty conscience. And he got up early in the morning. Are you okay? Probably freaked out when Daniel said, O king, live forever. Even though you tried to kill me forever, I'm saying live forever to you. A very startling answer after that sleep-reducing action of the king. Anxiety and stress from overwork, like we saw in our text. He gives his beloved sleep. Don't rise up early. Don't go to bed late. So anxiety and stress from overwork. Grief also. Grief can cause problems with sleep. And so it can become chronic. It's fine for a while, but if it actually goes on, it can become chronic. And sometimes the person needs help in dealing with a guilty conscience, how to confess their sins, how to take care of these things, how to relieve stress and anxiety by casting all their cares upon God, and also need help in how to deal with grief. So if I was running a sleep lab with Dr. Sabangan, let's say he set one up here, not right here because we wouldn't want to have people sleeping here, but if he slept up a sleep lab, then would there be a spiritual application that we could use with people that are going through these studies? Could we do a survey and see exactly what was happening? And could we, as pulmonologists and internists and those that are ordering these studies, is it an opportunity to spiritually help people with the spiritual issues of insomnia, right? Abundance of business. Some people just work too hard. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath. No work on that day. So you could actually study the Sabbath with somebody. The abundance of business. Working late hours. Staying late at the office. All of these different things are reasons to study what the scriptures say about a balanced life. When troubled by not completing tasks is another big one. So some pulmonologists I talked to Roger Schwelt this morning also before this message. So I had two consults this morning. And Dr. Schwelt said that with his patients, he has them take a piece of paper and actually write down everything they have to do tomorrow so they don't have to think about it. So they won't ruminate as much on what's going to happen the next day at the academy or the filming of classes. You know, we don't want people dying because of that. My sleep fled because of the what? Bitterness of my soul. So anger that's not been taken care of. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If it's not taken care of, it becomes resentment, it becomes bitterness, and it saps sleep. And is that a spiritual issue as well? And, of course, we have many texts on how to break up bitterness and all these different things. Also, when suffering from illness, sleep will sometimes go away because of suffering from illness. And so we want to start treating that illness as well. But also sleep is, extra sleep during illness is actually very good because it actually helps your immune system to be going into overdrive. And that's why people, when they get sick, they sometimes need a little bit more sleep than normal. Bad dreams and bad visions. We've talked about the good ones, but there can be bad dreams and visions. And there's an abundance of dreams. You know, the Bible talks about an abundance of dreams being related to unfinished business as well. And it's interesting that God breaks into King Nebuchadnezzar's life and he's having insomnia problems. He actually had, if he did a sleep study, there would be, you know, you would see real problems. In fact, he was so upset in Daniel chapter 2 that he was ready to kill people. And they've also shown that if your sleep cycle is eroded, this is especially true with people of teenage and college age, they can rapidly cycle to suicidal thoughts. And there's more suicide attempts by people that have sleep deprivation than those that have proper sleep. So maybe let your kids sleep in, right? A little bit. Especially if you're not having the discipline of having them go to sleep at 9 o'clock. And then this one I think is big, refusing God's comfort. Psalm 77, I cried out in the night. I cried out in the night. And then God answers him and he says, but I refused to be comforted. I complained and I was overwhelmed. And then it talks about how he complained, he was overwhelmed. And then there's doubts. Will God cast off forever? Has he forgotten his mercy and all these different things? And it leads actually down to a sense of isolation and aloneness. And really at that point, people become suicidal. So refusing to be comforted. How many can see that that the Bible actually has a lot to say about sleep? I'm just scratching the surface here at this first stab at talking about the spiritual dimensions of sleep. But I plan to sophisticate this as I've seen this. I'm like, whoa, this should be like a little book, little booklet that we give to each of our academy students and have them memorize the book. And now what about the treatment for insomnia? The treatment for insomnia, and I know that Adam has none of these problems because he's the son of a pulmonologist. Don't sleep too much during the day, Adam. So that's one thing that we actually heard from Dr. Sabangan, with the caveat that there are times that you can take, like a power nap, and this can actually be positive. If you sleep too long, I've found it's not good. So you have to limit that power nap sleep. Don't sleep too much during the day. Obligations to others. Pay off your debts. It actually talks about that. It talks about when you have debt, you have problems with sleep. So paying off your debts, and sometimes you owe a debt to God, which was our offering appeal today, and decrease your stress and prove God to see if he's true. Have the right temperature. Our doctor talked about this as well. Bible talks about it. The heat robbed Jacob of sleep. And then someone else didn't have enough clothes on at night and says, bring my clothes back so I'm covered up when I sleep. Must have been like the chilly time of the year as well. Ecclesiastes 5:11, work hard. Hard work, exercise, we heard. I got conflicting reports today. Dr. Sabangan said, don't do it just before you go to sleep. Dr. Schwelt said, people get so little exercise a day, just have them do it before they go to bed as well. So I don't know who to believe. I'm going to have them arm wrestle afterwards. So work hard, exercise hard, accept and review. Accept and review God's comfort. So remember in Psalm 77, I refused to be comforted, I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. And then it says, he blames God for insomnia right in the text. You hold my eyelids open, he says. And then he goes into all his doubts. But then in Psalm 77, verse 10b, 10a is I refused, is I'm all alone. But 10b says, but, in other words, here's the treatment. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate on your works. I will talk of your deeds. So there's this idea of shifting the mind to see how God actually has delivered, how God has comforted, how God has led, if not in your life, in the life of others. Because then it goes, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? So thinking about how he saved 1.5 million people from slavery and sleep deprivation. And then the sons of Jacob and Joseph, both these guys lost sleep in the stories, but it turned around because God brought rectification rectified the situation for them, and they came out of their imprisonment, they came out of their unfinished business with family members, that being the case of Esau. And then it says, you know, you carried me, your footsteps were not known. God carries us through these times. And then it says, you led your people by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Isn't that a wonderful psalm? And it has like a whole 10 verses of treatment for insomnia and all the different things we've been talking about. And then finally, I would say the scriptures have this wonderful passage that talks about God who never sleeps or slumbers, which means you can, because he's taking care of things. He takes care of things. So these are very practical treatments, I think, for insomnia as well. So at the end of time, do you think that there's going to be less stress or more stress? Probably more stress. And all that will not worship the beast in his image or receive his mark in his forehead and his hand will be under pressure. But interestingly enough, it says in Revelation 14, verse 13, blessed are those who die in the Lord and their works will follow them. There's this group of people that are resting in God. Now, some people think that's literal death. They're going to go to sleep and they're going to be able to die before they go through the time of trouble. It says that also in Habakkuk as well. I prayed that I might die before the overwhelming scourge comes, right? It says in Habakkuk chapter 3. But others that read this text in Revelation chapter 14, they say, no, this is a picture of righteousness by faith. People have died to their own works, and they're living by God's power and by his grace through faith. They've died to their own works, and his works are actually following them, and they're demonstrating his character in those last days. And they have salvation rest, and they have Sabbath rest, and eventually they'll have eternal rest in God. I kind of like that picture. How many of you like that picture? People so committed to God that they actually understand what he's doing and how he's doing it, and they're embracing that, and they're living by faith in God himself.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.